What if we told you that April showers bring more awesome savings on all-inclusive beach vacays? That sounds better, right? So Cheap Caribbean Vacations' semi-annual sale is helping you rein in an extra $200 off your next booking of 4 nights or more. That means you can score site-wide deals on your favorite beaches like Cancun, Aruba, Jamaica, and more now through the end of April. Don't wait. The semi-annual savings only comes twice a year. So go to CheapCaribbean.com to do your deal and save $200 on your next vacay.
I don't know about y'all. I love the holidays, and they also stress me out. Yesterday, I was trying to get everybody's gifts wrapped, and I just needed a second. I was on my fourth paper cut, and I was like, okay, take a walk around the house, calm yourself down. And you know what I did? I went and got myself a cookie, and I felt better. So all I'm saying is if you're tired or besieged by paper cuts, I think you deserve a cookie too.
I agree. Guys, Keebler Sandies are buttery. They're shortbread cookies made with delicious ingredients like cranberries, pecans, and almonds.
And each Keebler Sandy shortbread cookie is baked to perfection by those cute little Keebler elves for a light sweetness and a texture that melts in your mouth.
When you need a comforting moment for yourself, Keebler Sandies. It's the perfect treat that'll keep you going.
Next time you feel like you're juggling it all, reach for a Keebler Sandy's shortbread cookie to enjoy a simple moment of comfort.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
In Puerto Rico, if you can hear the music, you're invited to the party.
Sometimes it's salsa, sometimes it's plena, sometimes it's reggaeton. No matter what rhythm is calling to you, when you hear it, it is always time to dance.
In Puerto Rico, you can't step outside without hearing music because music is life there.
No passport required for U.S. citizens and permanent residents.
Learn more and plan your trip at discoverpuertorico.com.
First of all, you don't know me.
We're all about that high school drama girl, all about them high school queens. We'll take you for a ride in our comic girl,
drama girl,
cheering for the right team.
Drama queens, drama queens,
smart girl, rough girl, fashion, but you're tough girl, you could sit with us, girl.
Drama queens, drama queens, drama queens, drama, drama queens, drama queens.
Literally every minute that we were not filming, I was just sitting in a chair like, my life, my life, my life.
Well, tell everyone what you're talking about, Hillary.
Where are we? Is Hi, everybody. How this episode's going to open? My life. Yes. Hey, no. My life, everybody. Welcome to Drama Queens. We're talking about this is an infamous episode, right? Some people love it. Some people hate it.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody else read the synopsis.
Okay, season 6, episode 11. I think I'm the only one that had fun on this episode.
You we did. Three. You had a great time.
You sure did.
My Echo, My Shadow, and Me. Air date November 17, 2008. In a very special episode. Wow, it sounds like we're starting an after school special, which this definitely was not. Chad Michael Murray pens an homage to the classic films of the 1940s, Karen's Cafe is transformed into a glamorous nightclub with Lucas as its proprietor, Nathan as the bartender, Haley as the nightclub's resident singer, Peyton and Brooke as town floozies. wholesome nieces that are stupid and just had no clue what was going on. And
oh boy.
Mouth is a reporter and
the town drunk.
Wow. Yeah. Let's get started.
Oh my God. You guys, Chad did write this, which I really want to give him credit.
Yep.
At the time, we all thought we were grownups, right?
Yeah.
And we were 25, 26. Like a kid, a 25 or 26 year old kid writing an episode of a TV show is a very big deal. Like,
yeah, for somebody who didn't go to school for writing or trying, he's not trying to get in a writer's room. He's not,
No, he just had an idea and begged to do it for years. And they finally were like, you know what, Chad? Write a bottle episode. It Don't tie it to anything in the narrative. Just make it live on an island. And he did it. And I don't think they helped him very much because, you know, they wanted to prove a point. You're not a writer. We are. And I think he turned in something that was so fucking weird, but that made it interesting. Yeah. And so for any kid out there with a dream, just keep pushing, man. I'm glad he won this fight.
Yeah, me too. Yeah. And knowing that he did that was the thing that inspired me to go ask if I could direct an episode, which because I think I was the first one out of all of us that. And I went to Greg, one of our producers, with a script because I had seen Chad do this. And I was like, wait, this is a possibility we could actually branch outside because we definitely were not encouraged to do anything other than what we were showed, let alone other projects. Like we were not encouraged to do anything on our show besides act. So yeah, to go home and break down an old script from seasons before with, I had all my tabs and all my little notes on it. And I mapped out scenes and I did blocking like I used to do when I would direct plays in high school. And I came in with a huge binder and gave it to Greg. And I was like, this is what I would have done with that episode if you had let me direct it from, you know, 3 years ago. Can I have one in the future? And they liked it and they gave me one. And it is, you know, to Chad's credit, because he was the first one to take the step and go, hey, I want to do something else.
Yeah.
I appreciated that.
Well, I think that's a big deal too, is just the fact so many people, I think, out in the world who don't work in our industry don't know how they really do put those barriers up for us. And, you know, I've worked on things, as I know you guys have, where that's policy. Where producers will say, we hired you to act, we expect you to be an actor. Yeah. Don't ask to direct, don't ask for input, don't, you know, and they fill in the rest of the blanks. And so I will say, for us, I think that, you know, whatever the TV version of like the 7 year itch is, like by season six, you're just like, I can only say, but I love him, like so many more times.
Yeah.
Like, please God, you know, how are we going to keep doing this same thing again? And to start finding these avenues, you know, he took the lid off that box and it did. I mean, it pushed you to go and direct Joy and then James and then me. And it really, I think, inspired each of us in our own ways. And listen, as much as some of the powers that be didn't want to help us, didn't want us to succeed at some of these things, I do appreciate that they said, okay, if this is what it's going to be, if you love these old, you know, old timey 40s films, if you love this old like lore of Sinatra and whatever, we're going to give it context. And so the minute the episode opened, like I genuinely was like, what is 6/11? And then it started and I was like, oh my God, he's watching the movie. It's the 40s episode, isn't it?
Yes.
And it was a cool device, I think, for them to give us to get in and out of this world from Tree Hill to go into this sort of dreamscape. And, you know, they opened the door to this new world for us and we got to go have a time and I don't know, then we did.
Yeah, and other shows have done it successfully too. I mean, didn't Riverdale go on a time travel adventure?
Did they?
I feel like I saw like black and white things. Guys, I've been watching frickin' Nickelodeon and kid cartoons forever. But I feel like in passing, I've seen time travel on these other shows.
Okay.
And it is cool to get out of your bubble. But yeah, I wish they would have taken better care of Chad in this moment because as a new writer, you know, he's coming up with the story arcs and the A story and the B story and the C story. And I feel like they could have helped him massage some of that a little bit. Because some of the dialogue was hard for me as a woman to say. And that's not a dig at our friend here. That is a dig at the grown-up in the room not being like, that's a hard thing for a woman to say. Say it out loud yourself. Mm-hmm.
Mm. Well, yeah, to not help bring what we often saw in that bygone era on screen, which was like, gee, mister, I just need some help, you know, like to not help all of us in our modern era doing a flashback, bring it up to date. I hear what you're saying. I guess in my brain, I was like, well, we did the thing because that's what so many women were forced to do back then.
Y'all, I had to spin in the middle of that bridge and say, I need love.
How many times did it take you to do that with a straight face?
Did you see how wide that shot is?
I have it written down as questions.
Zero fucking times. You guys, I was like, well, you want me to do what? And the director, who shall remain nameless because he's a tool, was like, you got to spin in the middle of the bridge. You got to spin. And I was like, spin like,
why?
Like how? Like, why would I spin when I'm telling him my feelings? Because we're doing this big crane shot and it's going to look better if you spin and you just keep spinning. And I'm like, Liesl in The Sound of Music at the end of 16 going on 17. What the f*** are you talking about? I got to spin. And so if you look, wow. I am just making...
You're rolling your eyes.
See his face. I'm just like, I need love.
It's so solvable, though. Like, they could have just, if he needed a spin, he could have had you and Chad dance together for a second.
You know,
he could have had him grab you and spin you around. I don't know. It's so solvable.
Girl,
it's so dumb.
Suggestions were offered.
I'm sure they were. No, that's what I'm saying. It's so frustrating that once, you know, sometimes when people get something stuck in their head, they can't move on from it. I mean, whatever. Yeah. I've done the same thing, I guess. So I can't.
But the sets were gorgeous. I loved seeing Wilmington through this different lens. That was cool.
Yeah. And all the vintage cars and even the way that the sets changed the color palette of the show.
Yeah, so blue and gray. That was fun.
Yeah, it was so fun to see. And you guys looked so beautiful. And I just remember, like, you talking about knowing what book you were reading. I was like, well, this feels cool. And especially Joy, I think, because I know for me and I think for most of us, your storyline was the most fun. Like, Haley getting to do, you know, big band stuff.
Yeah.
I just remember being like, well, the way I'm going to have the most fun on this episode is I'm going to be the second set photographer. So I just like got into background costumes and I took pictures on set every day. That's what I did. Any scene I wasn't in, I took photos. So I have like, I got to figure out how to digitize all of it, but I have this amazing sort of stash.
Don't we have that sponsor, baby?
Yeah, what's the sponsor?
Don't we have Legacy Box?
Legacy Box.
Legacy Box. That's like not even an insert. It just happened naturally.
Probably.
But yes, like I've got all these beautiful old vintage photos of you guys, and they just are so pretty. I got to dig them up.
Well, I had a ball on this episode. Yeah. I'm sorry you guys had to do all the stuff you had to do because I had fun.
But you wrote music for this episode, right?
I did, yeah. They asked... Well, no, I had a song called The Hotel Cafe that I had written because I did a set before I ever got One Tree Hill. I had done a set of jazz standards at the Hotel Cafe in LA, and I thought it'd be fun to write a song for the venue in keeping with the night. And so we just transferred the name to Karen's Cafe. And then when I sent that in, they were like, this is great. Do you have any other stuff? I was like, yes, please hold.
You're like, turns out a whole night.
Perfect.
Yes. So wrote a bunch of stuff with my writing partner at the time, Ron Aniello. And yeah, and then we actually got to score the episode. I don't think they ended up using most of it. It was much more theatrical and sort of cinematic than our director wanted more 40s action-y style.
Do it again.
Yeah. Ours was more like theatrical and emotional. And I liked, you know, what they chose.
Is that also when you were working on The Notebook?
No, this was after. Okay, so wait, this aired 2008. So The Notebook score was done. We had probably done the workshop maybe the year prior, which is also probably why they knew that 1940s music was in my wheelhouse.
Because you're so Rachel McAdams. It's giving Notebook in a beautiful way.
It's so fun. And James is so debonair and so just, he's
so
fit that time period so well. I remember walking, first of all, I was so excited when I got the script. I was like, oh, I got to be in costume. I'm so excited. And I remember running into the trailer the first day and I opened it up and I look at James and he's hovering over the sink, shaving his face. He's got half a face of shaving cream. And he looks up because I really flung the door open. I'm glad he didn't cut himself. And he looks over his shoulder at me and I was like, oh, aren't you so excited? It's the first day of this episode. We're going to have so much fun. And he just looked at me like I had three heads. And he's like, yeah, it's going to be fun, Joy. I just slammed the door and ran back out. Oh, I was super stoked. But the costumes were great. Had fun with them. I didn't love the wigs, but
I didn't either.
Should we just go ahead and talk about the wigs?
Yeah.
My wig was so bad, you guys. Why did they make us wear wigs?
If we cover the badge right now, then we could talk about fun stuff for the last half of the episode.
Okay.
Hopefully everyone at home is okay with that.
We get a sandwich, right? Like,
yeah. You know, it's like shit appetizer, but the entree and dessert are going to be gorgeous. Guys, the wigs. The reason that they did the wigs this way is because we were doing this huge episode and they weren't giving us any more money. All the money had gone into the sets and all the extras and the cars and like all the background. It didn't go to us. Yeah. And so in order to do finger waves and pin curls on how many
hours.
Women?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Forever.
And different hairstyles for each scene because we had different, well, I had some different hairstyles.
Yeah.
And you guys had hats and yeah, I mean, there was a lot to do.
The whole thing.
Too many other extras to do their hair too.
What you didn't know, they were also wetting down the streets so that it had that glisteny film noir vibe. Mm-hmm. And do you know what doesn't go together? Tell them.
Wigs and water.
Ooh!
Turns out.
Wigs and water. And the hot, we shot that in the summer. So then there was the humidity, plus the cakey makeup, plus the wigs and the watered streets.
It wasn't great.
It was rough.
Also, yeah, I just feel like I look like I've run a marathon, but and then like put a gown on. Like I look sweaty, but matted. I don't know.
Because there weren't enough people to touch us up on set and also get people ready back in the trailer.
Our sweet team. But I do remember, as much as we were like, oh boy, these wigs, they're just starting to do the thing in humidity that like poodles do. Uh-oh. And then when they tried to figure out how to make it a little better with some of the hats, like y'all, you two know, for any of our friends at home who haven't figured this out, if you've seen me stand next to any other living human ever, I have a giant head.
What are you?
It's just, I have a really large skull. I think my parents tried to make me feel better about it when I was little. And they were like, oh, it's just, you have a big brain. I don't fit in a vintage hat. Like, I barely fit in a hat that's made today. Like, I just don't. I remember being in the fitting and they just kept bringing these hats in. And I was like, guys, what are we doing? And then they had to find a hat that sort of was just like a little top of the skull circle with like a front piece. And they were like, here, this doesn't have to fit around your head. It's just going to sit on it.
We're going to pin it to you, staple to you.
We're just going to pin it onto the top of your noggin. Mm-hmm. And send you in there to talk to Austin and Paul while Paul's, you know, ripping a baguette apart. How cool was that set, by the way? I loved it. That was my favorite. But that was like the one thing they could get to fit over my big fat head and that poofy wig.
And a wig.
It was like, it was a wrap.
Come on.
Our poor wardrobe girls.
Yeah, hair and makeup and wardrobe really had a time.
Joy, do you know what that's called? Like the hat that sits on the, it's not a fascinator. That's the British version. What is it?
The pillbox hats sit off to the side, but they're often round and it was a little bit more of a 50s, 60s vibe. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the ones that sit on the top from the 40s, I don't know.
It gives you a swoop like a bang.
Girl, that's a topper. I don't know what that is.
A topper. That's probably it.
A topper.
I had 1980s mall bangs for most of this episode. Like my shit was teased. It was so high because it would fall out because of the humidity. And they're like, well, if we just tease it a little, just tease
why didn't
it
they
a
just
little.
Make it straight because they knew the humidity was there. What was why didn't they just make it straight?
I don't know. Here's what I remember. I remember the wig fitting. And I had started putting red in my hair because I didn't want to be anyone's blonde fantasy anymore. I was fucking over it. Clearly, the theme is that I was over everything at this point. And I was like, oh, I'm just going to get some red deposit shampoo And they can highlight and bleach my hair all they want, but the second I go home, it's red again. They can't do anything about it. And so when we did our fittings for these wigs, I was like, okay, give me a red wig to match my hair now. Because you can see at the beginning of the episode, it's significantly darker. And producers came in and they were like, you're the blonde. And I was like, yeah, but we're all kind of switching shit up. So wouldn't it be cool if like Brooke got to be blonde or Haley got to be blonde or someone else got to be blonde? And they were like, the note from the studio is that no one likes you as a redhead. And this is how we're going to get you to be blonde again. And what you'll see is that we've got another episode coming up.
Is that why they made me wear the red wig?
Yeah. And they there's another episode coming up where I have to wear a blonde wig again. They were just like, if you're not going to do what we say, we're going to write it into the script and make you uncomfortable. And it was a big deal. It was a really big deal. And they made a point on set, too, of just being like, you're really not attractive as anything other than a blonde. And I'm just like, I hate it here, you guys. I like my blue dress, though.
Your dress was so good. And that asymmetrical back. Oh, come yes. on.
It was so good.
It was the year of the sticky boot.
Pretty.
Yeah.
Oh.
We all had, it seemed like we were having the most fun in our scenes with Paul.
Yes. Oh, my God.
The best.
He was built for that era. He was built for that those time period movies. Mm-hmm. I'm surprised he hasn't done any yet.
And with his split mustache.
Oh, yeah.
So cool.
Come on. It's so good. Him sitting there hovering over the spaghetti with the soupy
the
bread.
Sopping it up.
Yeah. Oh, it was just so good.
Wait a second. Joy, when he came on, he was coming back to the dressing room to see you. Can we talk about that scene? Because I found myself unexpectedly into it.
Same.
We had a ball. It was so much fun.
Yeah, but are you the first person to voluntarily kiss Dan Scott? Or not, I guess that was involuntarily, too.
It was definitely involuntary.
You're such a handsome man. No one wants to kiss him.
I know. It was weird, too, because it was like a struggle kiss, which is like, oh, it's my friend. Like, I don't know. It felt strange because we were definitely super close by then. Really, really, you know, he was probably my best friend on the show at the time. Sorry, my brain went somewhere. Anyway, but I...
Thinking about kissing him is where it went. That's what I was thinking about. Come here, mustache.
Paul's a good... I have kissed Paul in real life, and he's a good kisser. And so...
Is he? Tell us everything.
You know, we're friends. You're not friends. You never know what's going to happen. But anyway, we are very good friends.
Well.
But he's a good kisser. And so it was weird in that moment to be having a struggle kiss with someone who is a friend and then slapping him in the face, which I had to, he was like, just hit me. I'm like, Paul, I don't want to hit you. He's like, just hit me. All right. So I smacked him. But what you saw on camera was the real deal for sure.
I liked it. I mean, look, I don't like kissing at all, but I liked the way you just talked right over him.
Yeah.
Like, there was just a chemistry there.
Yeah, we worked on that scene quite a bit, I remember.
I was having a ball. This is my dream come true, to sit and do a little continental accent and wear the cute little vintage clothes. And it's like, who knows if I'll ever get a chance to do this again in my life. I might as well just yuck it up.
That was a conversation. I remember us talking about what the accent was supposed to be, like the Gal Friday of it all.
Yeah.
And how we were supposed to lean into it. I didn't.
Yeah.
I didn't like, either.
I'm talking about I need love, guys. Oh, I need love. I need love. All I can think about.
Oh, my gosh. But it was tough because you guys were in an awkward position. There was just behind the scenes stuff that was awkward, and to have to be like stuck in these costumes and saying these things. And, you know, Hillary, what you're talking about, all the BTS stuff that you were struggling with, they were trying to strong arm you, and you know, it was uncomfortable, I think, for a lot of people.
Friends, is there anything better than a clean and fresh smelling home? I don't think so.
I don't think there is. No. Oh, that feeling of just walking in the door and it's like, my life is okay. I'm not a total disaster. Like,
yeah.
I really feel better about myself when my house is clean. And I think the best way to achieve that relaxing feeling of a clean home, Clorox Scentiva.
Clorox Scentiva provides a powerful clean with refreshing scents. And you can find your home's signature scent. It might be coconut, grapefruit, lavender. There is a scent for every vibe.
Oh, it's grapefruit for me, all the way.
Lavender for me.
Friends, transform your home into an oasis.
With a powerful, clean, and refreshing scent, Clorox Scentiva cleans like Clorox and feels like confidence.
Get yours now at a retail store near you.
What if we told you that April showers bring more awesome savings on all-inclusive beach vacays? That sounds better, right? So Cheap Caribbean Vacations semi-annual sale is helping you rein in an extra $200 off your next booking of four nights or more. That means you can score site-wide deals on your favorite beaches like Cancun, Aruba, Jamaica, and more now through the end of April. Don't wait. The semi-annual savings only comes twice a year. So go to cheapcaribbean.com to do your deal and save $200 on your next vacay.
Drama Queens is sponsored by BetterHelp.
Oh, it's no secret that we love therapy. And we're very proud because of that, that this show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Lately, I don't know what is like in the air, but it seems like everybody's social battery is really getting tested right now. Like,
yeah.
We're all just juggling so much, you know, work schedules are ramping up. And I think like that really is one of the most important times to make sure you're also taking care of yourself. You know, when you've got so many obligations, to check in with yourself and make sure that, you know, you're setting boundaries that you need and getting the rest that you need, the sleep that you need. And those things require practice, don't you think?
Yeah, it's hard to say no. And it can be really easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves thin, especially with social gatherings ramping up after a long winter.
I get energy being around you guys. I love being around my friends. And I've really been able to figure out in therapy that kind of self-awareness to know when I have the energy to dive in and, you know, when maybe at the end of a long stretch where social life's been crazy, work's been really busy, where I need a little quiet time. It's learning about a balance for my life that doesn't drain my battery, you know?
Yeah. So if you guys at home are thinking of starting therapy, seriously, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and it's suited to your schedule.
You just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist. And you can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge.
Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/drama today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/drama.
So I play this little game every morning where I leave the house looking decrepit. And then I drop my children off at school. And then I get to my office and I take out a nice, cute little bag that came with my Thrive Cosmetic order. And with just a couple of products, I'm able to look like a normal, happy, healthy human again. It's incredible. I love these products. Thrive Cosmetics has a full line of makeup to refresh your everyday look. With clean, skin-loving ingredients, their foolproof products make it easy for any skill level to apply. Now, a few of my favorite products include their incredible Infinity Waterproof Eyebrow Liner. It's easy-to-use waterproof pencil, holds like wax, and blends like a powder. Just line brows to give this some structure and create natural-looking strokes of hair to fill in sparse brows. It comes with a spoolie brush to lift and tame brows after applying the pencil, and there are 8 shades to choose from that adjust to your natural brow color for a perfect match every time. Now, my other favorite product, I've been talking about this forever, is the Liquid Lash Extensions Mascara. Their unique formula creates tubes around each eyelash to lengthen them. And it's super easy to remove, you guys. This is my favorite part. It just slides right off with warm water, doesn't leave smudges, doesn't pull your eyelashes out. It's incredible. Its nourishing ingredients support longer, stronger, and healthier looking lashes over time. Refresh your everyday look with Thrive Cosmetics, luxury beauty that gives back. Right now, you can get an exclusive 10% off your first order at ThriveCosmetics.com/drama. That's Thrive Cosmetics, CAUSEMETICS.com/drama for 10% off your first order.
My favorite part of it was because most of my scenes were with Chad, and he was so excited, you guys. Like, this was his dream come true. It was really, really fun to be with him and just kind of like be a part of the celebration. Because after every take, he would be like, how was that? Did that feel okay for you? Like, do you want to change anything? And I was like, no, sweet. I don't want to change anything. You're so pumped right now, buddy. I'm into it. So like, you can see that I'm kind of smiling in some of these more awkward things that I have to say, because I can, he's hanging on every word on the other side of the camera and so fucking pumped about it. And I just wanted it to be great for him because he was so excited. You know, it's like, that's a fun thing to share with someone when their dream is coming true and you get to stand next to them while it happens. Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce. It's a fun thing. And so, and also Paul was around a lot, and you guys know Paul's mantra is make it work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If it commit. Doesn't matter if it doesn't make sense to you, like make it work. So I need love. I'm just going to keep saying it.
Just play the record.
Irritating. I'm so irritating. Okay. Skills on the piano. That's the funniest shit I've ever seen in my life.
I loved it.
It was so hokey. He was just pounding his hands, like bopping around.
Antoine committing to the piano man. Like, he was just having such a good time. And you're right. Watching your friends just have a really good time, there's nothing better. He made me giggle every time it cut to him.
Lee, too, with the red hair. And that he really committed so hard in this episode.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I mean, I bought Lee in a 1940s movie. I was like, is this absolutely a David Fincher movie? What's happening here?
Yeah.
When he's all bleary-eyed on the bridge. And, like, you can feel the fear on him.
Yeah.
He killed.
Lee is so good. And it was really nice to get to see his range. I think because Lee is so good at his job, sometimes he makes it look so easy that you forget how good he is.
Mm-hmm.
And to see him in an episode like this, committing to that comedy and stumbling out of the club and falling into the trash, you know, with the bottles crashing, like really sort of stereotypical 40s comedy.
Yeah.
And then Screwball. To your point, you get to him so afraid. And I don't know.
He's so versatile.
I love to see the range. And I loved that his character got to go on a journey. Cause at the beginning you think like, oh, here he is, like the drunk reporter who thinks he's like too big for his britches. And then you realize he's really onto something and, you know, he's in danger. It's so exciting.
That's tough to fit all that into one episode. You know, they were like, write a bottle episode, but it's an entire story arc. There's a whole movie in 28 minutes. No, 48
minutes. It's the last three seasons. It's everything from Keith's death to Peyton getting pregnant. And so it's just
all piled into one.
Mashed.
Oof. And Julian, that was fun too. I loved in the warehouse when you walk in, he's talking, he just pauses and like tosses his toothpick around a little. Hey, sugar.
Pop, so
flips the knife up.
Yeah. I was going to say, in the same way I loved seeing Lee in this era, I loved seeing Austin in this era. They're so fun, those two. And it really made me want them to go do some like old-timey caper together now. A caper.
I'd love to see
that. I feel like I can say this now because surely it's not going to happen at this point. I've been watching these episodes. There was a scene that I shot with Austin that I have not seen in any of the episodes yet. So I think they cut it.
And what is it?
When we are introduced to Julian, it is Peyton's in the bathroom at Trick and she's like washing her hands at the sink and someone comes in and grabs her and forcibly kisses her.
Oh my God, I remember this.
Do you remember us filming this?
Yes.
You filmed it.
And because it was a huge deal that the camera that was on me, as the person spins me around and is kissing me, I made these like horror show bug eyes. And I do it in this episode when I get shot. But I made the horror show bug eyes. And they were like, hey, Hillary, we're going to go again. But if you could keep your eyes closed, that would be great. And I was like, I'm being sexually assaulted in the woman's bathroom.
Yeah.
I probably wouldn't lean into it, friends.
Yeah.
They made me watch like playback to show me how ugly I looked with my bug eyes being forcibly kissed by Julian. And so they just cut it out of the episode. And I didn't say anything in the first episode that Julian was in because I was like, maybe I'm misremembering. Maybe it's like in a later episode. But I feel like by the time we get to the 1940s thing, it must have just been cut out. Do you remember that?
I do, because I remember being there. It was like one of those trick days where they're just That's horrifying. We'll all stand around. And because I have that like that icky feeling of just remembering how uncomfortable the whole thing was. And that must have been why, right? That they watched it and they were like, oh no, there's no way to make this look cool
this
or sexy.
Not sexy.
It's literally threatening.
That's horrifying.
Horrifying.
We shot it so many times. So many times.
God.
Ugh. And that anyone could write it and go, this'll work.
Oh, yeah, this is a good idea.
This is a normal thing for a person to do to another person. No,
they like
thank
this.
You.
They like oh. it. No, I love seeing Austin be this bad guy. And that's what reminded me of it in this episode, is that he can be dastardly. And it's fucking cute.
It's fun.
When he really leans into it. So fun.
Yeah.
Why was Joe in this episode?
So Chad could punish him.
They brought him all the way out for this episode, but he didn't do anything. Not that I don't love watching Joe on screen. I just was like, why? What? There's no storyline. What's happening?
Girl, there's certain things like, why is Brooke a bad guy? Like a vicious, two-faced bad guy in this episode.
So dumb.
Yeah.
Yeah, you didn't really have they didn't give you much depth or, I'm not saying that you don't bring depth to your character. It's just that it was like on the page, like what are you there for? Yeah. What are you trying to do?
There was a lot, I think, and I don't remember if there was something else going on when we were shooting this. I'm not even sure I was supposed to be in this episode.
How would we do it without Brooke?
No, you were. How could we do that without Brooke?
I just remember like they're... I don't remember why. Ugh, it's been so long. I don't remember if I was supposed to be doing something else or we were traveling for something or I don't know. But I remember the panic of having to insert scenes for me into this episode, like right at the 11th hour.
Ooh, weird.
I think many of you guys had like more fleshed out stories. And then with me, it was like, make her do this. I don't know. Make her do this.
Maybe.
We need a reason to shoot Peyton. Let's make it Brooke, which like, you know, in the grand scheme of our show doesn't track for our characters, especially where they are together in season 6. But I think sometimes when you're like, when there's a panic shift before, you know, a big show's getting shot and there's things like wigs melting, they're less concerned with us.
Did Brooke even have a reason in this episode to be so, was it just jealousy? She just didn't like.
She just wanted that Lucas Scott.
She just wanted
real so bad.
She just wanted her problems with money and men to be fixed by somebody.
Somebody needs to fix my problem.
I would have gladly given you the dove necklace storyline, babe.
Listen, you mean you wanted me to twirl for you?
Yes. There was so much that could have happened. I would love to see Brooke and Peyton team up on something. Maybe with Melf, like solving a crime. I don't know.
That would have been cool.
Yeah, it would have been fun.
But that might have been if we'd been directing the episode, Joyce.
Yes. Well, but also to that point, when you have a very young writer and you don't sit down and do like all the read-throughs and what do the female writers in the room have to say about it and what do some of the older writers and what do some of the other young writers. They didn't workshop it with him in a way that could have helped him. And I think, I'll just say it, I think that they were like, oh, you think you can write an episode? Okay.
Yeah.
And took everything really, really literally because he had the audacity to want to try something. And so that was part of the reason that I was like, I'm going to commit to this shit I got to say just because we're going to stick it to him.
Prove him wrong.
Yeah, let's get him.
Such a different time period. It wasn't that long ago, but it just feels so different. I look at, there's so much encouragement now, I feel like, for young artists and people who are established in one thing and wanting to try and do something else. It feels like there's just constant available community of people going, yes, I want to see you succeed. I want to see you try this, try that. Great. And I don't know why it was back then. They were like, no, stay in your lane.
I think we're much more in a, culture of mentorship than we were then.
Respect.
For so long, there was this gatekeeping attitude about like, well, I managed to get in the door, so I can't let anybody else in after me.
Yeah, you got to earn just the way I did.
Yeah, and I think when enough of us started figuring out how to climb through the window, we were like, well, this feels dumb. If we just open the door and let everybody in, the vibes are going to be better in here.
People are happier, better ideas, yes.
Yeah, and so I think that that shift has been so monumental, but it is worth remembering that we were really in an era where we weren't encouraged, let alone supported. And, you know, I do remember when scenes were written for me finally in this episode, saying to the powers that be, I find what you've done, like, I know you're on a time crunch and, you know, we're building these sets and we're doing these things and you're approving all this stuff and you're renting picture vehicles and it's a whole undertaking. I get that. And you've turned these things around for me in 12 hours. And I find them to be rather demeaning.
Yeah.
And that, and then it's, you know, you get met with, oh, don't take, oh, come on. You're being too sensitive. This is ridiculous. It's, we need a foil. We need, and it's like, do you? And the thing that stood out to me thinking about that, watching the episode, was actually Hillary, that we even had a little something repeated between Peyton and Brooke. Brooke's like, fix my problems with men and with money. And then you even say like, well, what do I have to do short of throwing myself at you? By the way, more power to people, but it did feel a little reductive. And I think it's an interesting point that you make. A, you know, we can talk about now what was happening behind the scenes, and B, that even where lacking this mentorship vibe that we all work so hard at now, even where when someone was being supported, they were still being undercut at the time then.
Yeah.
You know?
That's what it was. It was like they gave him a yes, but they withheld full support. And I think everyone, Chad could still be writing television if he'd had full support and he had a boss that was like, I'm going to mentor you. If this is a goal of yours, let me help you do it and like really like learn the ropes. And that's why like when I go to see Megan Park's movies, she was on a teen drama. She had to say crazy shit on her teen drama, but she was surrounded by mentors and people that were
and
like,
women.
Oh, we're going to introduce you to this writer's group and we're going to introduce you to these female directors and they're going to raise you up. You know, to be the next generation of leaders. And we kind of, we missed the boat on that. But but that said, we looked cute in our weird wigs.
But you know what I do appreciate, to be honest, is that even though, look, the environment on our show for us, especially as women, could not have been more different from the environment on our friend Megan's show.
Yeah.
But we navigated around it. We worked around it. We figured it out.
Pivot.
We supported each other's art. We supported each other's ideas. We supported each other's music, writing, directing. Yeah. Like we may have had to claw our way into those spaces, but we were undeterred. So, you know, I say fascinator, topper. What do we call them? Toppers off to us.
Toppers off.
Toppers off to you, my gals.
Did you guys ever see Bugsy Malone? With Scott Baio and Jodie Foster.
Jodie Foster, that's right.
No.
It's like little kids doing a gangster movie.
Yeah, it's like, it's terrible, right? It's like a little kid. It was a really famous director, Joy. Who was that? It was a very famous director, like an Oscar-winning director that did this movie. It's all little kids doing a gangster movie. And instead of shooting each other with guns, they're like throwing pies at each other, and that's how they kill each other. And it's ridiculous.
It's a musical too, right? Or don't
but
they
it's
sing?
So fun to watch. And so that was the energy that I personally took into this episode. I was like, yay, we're going to Bugsy Malone it.
Alan Parker, starring Jodie Foster, Scott Baio, Florence Garland.
They like shot it in London. They spent a shit ton of money on it. It was a big deal.
I do appreciate that they even though they knew the writing was like, they weren't giving Chad the support that he needed, I appreciate that they at least trusted us enough to bring in depth and ideas and things to the characters that they knew they could throw something at us at the last minute, especially you, Soph, with like last minute pages, and know that we were all going to show up. I mean, at least that burden on our shoulders, they knew we could carry.
What was your theme movie when you were like, we all had such different storylines. You're the femme fatale, Soph, and Joy, I mean, you are just the Humphrey Bogart, Lauren Bacall.
Yes, the Barbara Stanwyck, I don't know what the movie is. There is one movie with Barbara Stanwyck in a dressing room, actually, I think is when it opens.
Oh, so it's like a real reference.
It might have been. I can't believe we got Casablanca, by the way.
Right?
So cool.
For the opening scene? Casablanca was in the opening scene of our show?
Because we didn't have any expensive bands. We had your music, and we had, I think, two other songs that really stood out, but we weren't paying, like, you know, Aerosmith, or sometimes we would get those really expensive songs.
And who owns, is that a move, like, is Casablanca owned by Warner Brothers?
Yeah, I think, that probably is it.
Yeah, I think that being part of such, like, an old, iconic studio might have really helped us out in that moment.
What was your inspirational movie, Hill?
Bugsy Malone.
For this, that was the energy you went in with.
Yeah. Would you watch to prep?
I didn't need to watch anything. I watched all of them. My whole life I've been watching, prepping for that.
Yeah, you're like, I literally was writing the music for years. Joy, you manifested this episode.
I probably did.
Did you plant this seed in Chad's head?
Why aren't we doing a period piece?
Did your Notebook adaptation influence him?
It might have done. I don't know.
Wait, that's cool.
I don't know. I'll have to ask him.
Yeah.
But I sure was happy. Oh, when we went out to that airplane hangar, that was really fun too.
That was
going
great.
Out in all the rain. And I remember filming out there. They drove us out. I don't know where it was. It was like 45 minutes away. Some airplane hangar. They brought in an old, giant old airplane. This is before CGI was something that they could do easily. They were like, no, we actually need an old aircraft from the 40s.
Didn't it come from like, am I remembering this correctly? Didn't that come somehow through the air show? Like, we'd all go to the air show every year. Yeah, and I feel like it was somebody associated with the air show was like, oh, yeah, I know a guy who's got a whatever plane in his old collection. Like, that kind of weird where you're like, is this real life? People have conversations like this. You know, a man with a collectible warplane?
Yeah.
That's okay. Where the wig money went.
Right. Sounds
all
good.
All the wig money was in that plane.
Yeah.
No, that looked beautiful. It reminded me of like Pearl Harbor.
Yeah, me too. That's what I was thinking.
And there was a resurgence of interest in World War II during that time. I mean, I feel like so many movies about World War II came out when we were in high school. Saving Private Ryan and Pearl Harbor came out when we were like 19. And then I feel like there were a couple other movies that all really like fell into this theme. And I don't remember why. Was there an anniversary or something? Like it had infiltrated our pop culture to the point that you got Peyton walking along the bridge like, I'm not sure how I feel about the war. What?
Yeah.
Come on.
I could be a nurse.
Peyton Sawyer would know exactly how she felt about everything.
That's right.
Yeah, I don't know why World War II was such a bop.
I wonder what it was. You saying that makes me think, oh, all the things we think, you know, watching the episode and then looking back on it, you saying we could have teamed up and done something. I'm like, oh, wouldn't it have been neat for Peyton to go and argue that she wanted to write an opinion piece about the war for the newspaper to mouth?
Yes. Yes.
That would have been cool.
Of course.
We could have just lived in this world for a few more episodes.
Golly. Honestly. If there was a caper, I'd have been so in.
Yes.
Okay, you guys, we're going to do a little bit of imagination right now because I need your opinions on that weird twist about Dan and Peyton's mother being in love and what that means for Lucas and Peyton and why that was in there.
Oh, yeah, that was
because they were
so
making
weird.
It seem like you might actually be his sister.
Yes, that's what I'm saying.
And it made me feel kind of icky.
Wait, his sister, Dan and Peyton's mother.
Like if Dan and Peyton's mom had been together.
Wouldn't that make her his stepdaughter?
We never put a time on it.
It sort of made it seem like, is Dan Peyton's dad?
Right.
A little, and yeah. If he were.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And also Lucas's dad, they would be half siblings. I don't know. It definitely rang like an icky bell for me.
Oh, you'd make Lucas's sister you're talking about. Yes. That it would be, oh, I see. Ew.
It was confusing for me.
I didn't catch that.
Because it came out of nowhere. It was like, why are you hanging out with that man? And instead of, I put in my notes, is Peyton a sugar baby? Like, not know. I think everyone knew at that point, too, that I liked much older dudes. So I'm watching the episode just like, yeah, all right. Like, Peyton's hanging out with Dan. This is cool. Like, that's her energy. It's my energy. Yeah,
that's what I was thinking.
Yeah, I was totally fine with it. But then it was like, I don't know why you'd hang out with Dan. And it's like, actually, he was f***ing my mom, not me.
You know? It was so weird.
It was so, like, soap opera, which is cool. But it made me confused because I'm like, but wait, no, we're going to kiss? Yeah. Yeah, Tree Hill's too small, folks. Even in the 40s.
Friends, is there anything better than a clean and fresh-smelling home? I don't think so.
I don't think there is. No, no. Oh, that feeling just walking in the door and it's like, my life is okay. I'm not a total disaster. Like,
yeah.
I really feel better about myself when my house is clean. And I think the best way to achieve that relaxing feeling of a clean home, Clorox Scentiva.
Clorox Scentiva provides a powerful clean with refreshing scents. And you can find your home's signature scent. It might be coconut, grapefruit, lavender. There is a scent for every vibe.
Oh, it's grapefruit for me, all the way.
Lavender for me.
Friends, transform your home into an oasis.
With a powerful, clean, and refreshing scent, Clorox Scentiva cleans like Clorox and feels like confidence.
Get yours now at a retail store near you.
What if we told you that April showers bring more awesome savings on all-inclusive beach vacays? That sounds better, right? So Cheap Caribbean Vacations semi-annual sale is helping you rein in an extra $200 off your next booking of 4 nights or more. That means you can score site-wide deals on your favorite beaches like Cancun, Aruba, Jamaica, and more now through the end of April. Don't wait. The semi-annual savings only comes twice a year. So go to CheapCaribbean.com to do your deal and save $200 on your next vacay.
I think this is such a brilliant invention, and I wish somebody had come up with it earlier, but I'm glad we have it now. You know, I've been doing theater since I was a little kid. My mom has all these videotapes of me and all these productions, and then we also have all of our family movies and all of the family photo albums and all of the everything that just takes up so much space. And I'm so grateful that Legacy Box created this whole platform to be able to condense these amazing memories down into something that's actually tangible and easy to access.
Well, and with Mother's Day fast approaching, it is a great gift for the whole family. So you can relive moments like wedding days, first steps, or the embarrassing haircut you had in the 90s. You can reconnect with your family's history and hear your grandmother's voice again for the first time.
Yes, the process is so easy. You just send in your legacy box filled with old VHS tapes, camcorder tapes, and pictures. And their team professionally digitizes everything by hand in the USA. You'll get everything back on the cloud or a thumb drive along with your originals. It's so easy.
Yeah. I mean, again, the VHSs, my new project is that I found Jeffrey's big, huge storage containers of VHS. And he was making TV shows in the late 80s, early 90s that I never got to see. This so is good. My chance. So
all of his pilots that never aired,
girl,
right?
I love those old beta tapes.
Yes.
So you guys can do this too. Join over 1.5 million families that have trusted Legacy Box with their memories. Just go to legacybox.com/drama to save 60% during their best Mother's Day sale ever. That's legacybox.com/drama.
Oh, you'll know real when you get it, because it'll say eBay authenticity guarantee and you will feel it.
Ooh, maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you feel like a gem, sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly.
And when it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things that you love are checked by experts.
Not just any experts, specialized experts. Real people who love this stuff with real hands-on authentication experience.
So when you see that shiny blue check mark that says authenticity guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know eBay's got your back.
Yeah, because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other.
With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach.
Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit eBay.com for terms.
Lucas shoots Julian. Then Dan says, isn't this fun?
Wait, what did he say?
He goes, isn't this fun?
Isn't this fun, right?
After Lucas shoots Julian. Oh, God, I loved it. Yeah, I really liked being with Dan in this episode.
He was my favorite.
Yeah. Bad guys always make sense. And maybe this is why I'm attracted to, like, a bad guy in real life. They know what they want. They're not apologetic about it. They just go and they get it. And so playing a bad guy always makes sense because you don't play by anybody else's rules. But when you have to play the moral center with the dove necklace and like tell everybody all about it, you have to play by all of these like ethical rules that, I don't know, get kind of muddy. I'd way rather be the psychopath. Paul had so much fun.
Yeah, Paul had a lot of fun. I wish they had not tokenized abusing women as like the, here's how you're a bad guy. You know, here's how we know he's a bad guy. It was kind of gross. It just felt like a little too, I don't know, easy.
I got slapped on my ass and on my face.
Yeah,
you got
didn't
slapped
like it.
In the face too.
It was awful.
It just wasn't great.
No. No, I don't think he enjoyed it much. I mean, he likes being a bad guy, but having to go around like manhandling everybody and trying to, I remember him feeling like talking about how uncomfortable this was. He was like, this is not, I don't mind being a bad guy, being a gangster with the dudes, but why does it have to be with all three women? He has to be so physically aggressive. It was gross and unnecessary.
Did Dan ever hit a chick on our show? I remember when the girl who knew that he shot Keith, he came into her house and he just standing there was super scary. There. But did he ever lay hands on Deb or Karen?
No.
The only person he ever got physical with at all was Carrie. And he pushed her up against the wall of the hotel room, remember? And said, if you after my grandson again, I'll kill you. But
which didn't really have anything to do with her being a woman and him having a disdain for women. It was like, you are a threat to my family. I don't care what gender you are. And you have a problem. You have to stop.
Yeah. And I remember us talking about it even in that episode, how it was intimidating, but it felt accurate and you understood the reaction from him.
Yeah.
I mean, she kidnapped a child.
And self-defense with her on the cornfield too. Same.
Yeah. Like two people going at each other who are both a bit threatening, but no, I don't think that was ever really Paul's, you know, even as Dan, his MO. So it did feel really, It felt
really
heightened
boring.
To a point of, of discomfort in this.
Yeah. There are just so many other ways to let somebody know that you're a bad guy in, you know, an episode when we've got 45 minutes to film stuff. Like, it would have been better to do
somebody was working some stuff out.
But besides that, I know he was having a lot of fun.
But poor Paul, too, because he was always our protector. Like Paul was like, you know. He's the Lion King for us.
And oh my God, he is the Lion King!
He's Simba's dad, you know?
Mufasa.
And he's Mufasa. And poor Paul in this episode has to like be the bully. And he's only ever been our protector. Oh God, I just know it broke his heart. I remember, to your point, Joy, him being so uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And he was so pumped that he was finally getting to work with us. He never got to work with us girls.
Yeah.
He was always
true.
Working with the boys. And so it was like, oh my God, I get to play with the girls. How fun. Okay, now I'm going to hit you. That's probably why he wanted you to slap the shit out of him. Just so it felt like fair.
Yeah. That actually makes sense.
Yeah.
I could see him thinking.
Yeah, that way he could say, like, no, really, I got the short end of this stick. Joy, I want to talk about, I'm just going through my notes in chronological order, the tears running down your face in the airplane hangar. So perfectly timed.
Mm-hmm.
How many takes did we do
That's
this?
Professional, baby. Mm-hmm.
They were just bang, bang. Ugh.
Yeah, that was real. I don't know how many takes. I have no idea, but couldn't have been too many. They would have had to reset my makeup all the time.
Mm. When it works out like that, though, do you ever have that moment when you know you're on your close-up and you can feel those big fat tears falling in your face and you just go, oh, nailed it.
Yeah, and you're like, I know exactly when to blink.
But it's like, because sometimes you sob and you're on the wide shot. And you're like, cool, no one's ever going to see this. Yeah. And like, when I watch moments like that for friends or even the ones that I've had, and I'm just like, God, it's so nice when you get them in the close-up. It's so nice.
Toss, toss. You know, it is actually, I get really uncomfortable if it's not, it works for the 40s thing, but it was hard for me to stand there and let the tears stay and not wipe them away because I'm such a, I just, in real life, like, I don't like crying in front of people. I don't like people having to console me while I'm crying. It's an issue I've had for many years and I'm getting better at as I get older and learning how to be more vulnerable with friends. But it is definitely something that I have a physical reaction to. If I'm crying, I don't want people watching me cry. I want to wipe the tears away fast.
You should play Peyton Sawyer sometime.
I don't like it. And it's hard to have a camera on you and to trust that it's okay to let the tear fall and you don't look. My pride kicks in. I'm like, oh, I look like such a weak, I hate looking like I'm crying. And it's okay. It's okay to just let my character be sad and let people experience that without having to just wipe the tears away and be like, I'm fine. I'm fine. I'm strong.
Nobody saw that. Looked pretty. Like little diamonds running down your face. I want to talk about what I loved, and it's going to be about me, guys. Sorry.
Your dress.
No.
I loved that.
The end,
sorry.
When Peyton gets shot. When Peyton gets shot, and I had to lay there in Chad's lap while the rain pelted me in the face, and my face was just reactively twitching to being pelted with rain, and they kept being like, Hillary, stop moving your face! And just screaming over the rain towers while we're filming it. I can see every muscle in my body tensed up in
trying
this footage.
So hard.
And I remember, like, finally they got a take where my face wasn't just like, you know, my eyeballs weren't doing weird stuff.
Flinching.
And the pride I felt being dead for this show. Was huge. Like, I felt like I'd accomplished something. And I loved watching it back because I just remember being in Chad's lap and Chad kind of like cheering me on, like, you're doing so good, Hill. It's so good. Just don't move. Don't move. Don't move. Okay. Yeah, that was a little twitch. Little twitch. Keep it still.
Aww.
It was rain death is hard death.
It's horrible.
Well, it's real hard. And especially at that angle, the water was going up your nose, probably.
It's all those little things that nobody thinks about until you have to be in the scene on the ground, and you're like, "Well, my sinus cavity's filling with rainwater, and my eyes
slowly dripping, tickling.
Yeah, like I'm not dead, so I am twitching because I'm being hit with drops that are so big by the time they get down to the ground out of said rain tower."
Yeah.
That, like, I feel like I'm being punched in the face. You don't realize how hard it is to hold still.
Well, for all of you guys at home who want to try it out, just start recording yourself on your phone and then take the sprayer at your kitchen sink and spray yourself in the face and
full blast.
Don't move a muscle.
Yeah.
Don't just move. Don't.
Have your friend do it. Actually, I would love to see this trend happen all over TikTok. Just friends spraying
Sawyer.
Each other in the face. Oh, the Peyton Sawyer death scene.
By the way, it should be two girls because watching you do this made me think about what happened to me in season 8 that we talked about, Joy, when we did our big car accident in the rain.
Yes.
And I'm watching you in this episode in Chad's lap, obviously trying not to twitch. And I'm just remembering also getting screamed at over the bullhorn to stop twitching when I was supposed to be passed out in the road under the rain tower and Austin was doing CPR on me. So like my chest was bouncing.
Oh no.
And they were just like, look more dead. You're supposed to be dead. And I was like, this is.
How?
Okay. And your eyes twitch. That's the whole awful. Thing.
I had to do a movie once where I had to go under a bathtub and be no bubbles, no nothing. The shot was me in placid water under the bathtub with my eyes open.
It's so hard.
And in the script, you're like, okay, sure, whatever. I mean, we must have done 15 takes. I couldn't do it. I had to hold my nose. The director was finally like, just hold your nose. Just, it's okay. We got to get out of here. And I was like, just give me one more. Give me one more. I'm going to make it worth your while. And I did it. I sucked it up. It was torture. Water filled my entire sinus cavity. And I did not move. And I let the water get perfectly still and laid there with my eyes open. Like, I went through labor. I can do this. But let me tell you, it was incredibly uncomfortable. It's painful.
I mean, we have human reflexes to keep us alive. Yeah. And you don't realize how strong they are until someone tells you not to do them. And you're like, oh, it turns out this is my literal fight or flight instinct. Oh,
that's the reason you can't drown yourself.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's awful.
I loved it. Oh my God. This is one of those episodes my husband can't watch. Why? You'll see me doing the spin and I'll never hear the
You'll
end
never
of it.
Live it down.
Hillary, spin real quick for me.
Hillary, what do you need? I need love.
I need love. I need freedom like the dove.
You know what, though? I feel like George would like that scene.
I mean, maybe.
Yeah, she would.
She might.
I might. No, George thinks I'm a big dork, which is cool of her. oh my God, y'all. Speaking of, I just watched Heathers. With Gus and Veronica Sawyer. I was like, yeah, like Peyton Sawyer's a Veronica Sawyer. And Gus's brain exploded. It was fun. That's my sidebar. That's my sidebar to come back to the present.
Friends, is there anything better than a clean and fresh smelling home? I don't think so.
I don't think there is. No, no. Oh, that feeling of just walking in the door and it's like... My life is okay. I'm not a total disaster. Like,
yeah.
I really feel better about myself when my house is clean. And I think the best way to achieve that relaxing feeling of a clean home, Clorox Scentiva.
Clorox Scentiva provides a powerful clean with refreshing scents. And you can find your home's signature scent. It might be coconut, grapefruit, lavender. There is a scent for every vibe.
Oh, it's grapefruit for me, all the way.
Lavender for me.
Friends, transform your home into an oasis.
With a powerful, clean, and refreshing scent, Clorox Scentiva cleans like Clorox and feels like confidence.
Get yours now at a retail store near you.
What if we told you that April showers bring more awesome savings on all-inclusive beach vacays? That sounds better, right? So Cheap Caribbean Vacations semi-annual sale is helping you rein in an extra $200 off your next booking of 4 nights or more. That means you can score site-wide deals on your favorite beaches like Cancun, Aruba, Jamaica, and more now through the end of April. Don't wait. The semi-annual savings only comes twice a year. So go to CheapCaribbean.com to do your deal and save $200 on your next vacay. Oh, you'll know real when you get it because it'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee and you will feel it.
Ooh, maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you feel like a gem, sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly.
And when it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things that you love are checked by experts.
Not just any experts, specialized experts. Real people who love this stuff with real hands-on authentication experience.
So when you see that shiny blue check mark that says authenticity guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know eBay's got your back.
Yeah, because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other.
With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach.
Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms. Do you know that this has been a tradition in my family for many years? My mother
used to love pecan sandies from Keebler. She would bring them home, and I would find her in the kitchen taking a little nibble on a stressful day. And I love it. I love it so much. I've adopted it myself. I love coming home and just taking a moment to step away from all the daily expectations and enjoy a little Keebler Sandy.
Listen, you know I love a snack break, and Keebler Sandies are perfect for that. They are buttery shortbread cookies made with delicious ingredients like cranberries, Joy's favorite pecans, and almonds.
Mm. Each Keebler Sandy shortbread cookie is baked to perfection by the Keebler elves for a light sweetness and a texture that melts in your mouth.
The delicate sweetness, the buttery flavor, the crumbly texture, they make Keebler Sandies the perfect pairing with your coffee or tea.
Whether you're enjoying Keebler Sandies as an afternoon snack, serving them at a party, or simply indulging in some me time, they are a classic shortbread cookie that brings simple pleasure to every bite.
When you need a comforting moment for yourself, Keebler Sandies is the perfect treat that will keep you going.
Next time you feel like you're juggling it all, reach for a Keebler Sandy shortbread cookie and enjoy a simple moment of comfort.
How are we going to get out of this time travel?
I don't know. Is there maybe a fan question which might bookend time travel for us? Is there an ending moment you guys want?
I mean, the fan questions from Julie, it's questions about the costume, which we've talked about. She's asking if we had old techniques with makeup, lighting, and hairstyles. I don't know if there were any particular older. I mean, I do know the hair and makeup team was really doing a lot of research before we came in. They had all their books out, all their costume books and everything.
Sophia had the coolest manicure, and I remember being so jealous because you had the moon.
I did. Oh, I got that like cool half moon
good
thing.
Memory.
I loved that. And they made me get like long fake nails. Yeah. I felt so fancy and I couldn't do anything. Like I couldn't text. I was like, how do people, what is happening here? And I think about that even today, like nail art has gone to a whole other place. And I'm like, but how do you load your dishwasher? I'm not capable, but it looked pretty.
It sure did.
It was very cool to see, to your point, Joy, like, and even with the research about the manicure hill, the books of references that our hair and makeup team pulled, you know, for everybody at home, they were looking at everything from the way women wore lashes then to the shape of eyebrows to like, you know, that really pointy Cupid's bow that people would do with lip liner. Yeah, the way the curls were set. It was so, I don't know, it was just so specific, and it was really cool to see our team take us so in depth. Yeah. I didn't love my wig at all, but I did love the research that went into making it. It was pretty cool. I didn't like wearing it. I was just itchy the whole time.
It was
they had so to itchy. Give me they glue, broke they one of those little glue. Combs like off of a the little teeth, the metal thing off of a comb for me. And I kept it in my bag and I'd just like stick it in between the edges of the wig because I was so itchy all day.
It's like having a broken arm.
Oh,
you just had to get that like itcher in there.
Yeah. And all the glue that they had to put on that was you had to take off every night with alcohol or acetone or whatever to peel it off your face for the wig.
All for the drama.
I was reading a book about the South American jaguar preserve.
I love that you're bringing it around with how we started this, of you saying you knew exactly what book you were reading.
And I just remember thinking, you know, it was like 3 o'clock in the morning. We're all itchy. We're all wet. I've got sticky blood all over me. I've been laying on the ground getting sprayed in the face. And I just remember thinking, well, at least I'm not getting eaten by a jaguar. Like,
it could be worse.
I'm just reading about them like eating people, like eviscerating people. And I was like, well,
at least it's not that.
That'll be Chad's next episode. There's a jaguar loose in Tree Hill.
That should have happened. Honorable mentions?
Lee Norris crushed.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he gets my yellow ribbon.
Unanimous vote. I love it.
Great.
Should we celebrate by spinning a wheel?
I love that idea.
Oh, man. You guys, we have the most likely to be the next bachelor or bachelorette.
Oh,
Rachel, wasn't that? I feel like we've had this question before.
Have we?
Maybe not. But I would say Rachel.
Oh, Gigi, that little hussy.
Oh, Gigi, yeah.
Gigi would be so good. Mm. And by the way, now that they're doing like parents, I don't love this golden term, so I don't want to use it. But I, what I would give to see both Deb and Barbara on the Bachelorette.
Oh my God.
I want to see that woman being courted like the sexy minx that she is.
Yes.
Just like men falling all over themselves to get close to Barbara. I'm in. Yeah.
Yeah. But like quality men, if we could find a whole entire room full of really quality men and put really them in the same place.
We should vet
them.
Not the network. We should be the vetting committee.
1,000%.
Okay, great.
We could pitch this.
Maybe we should take these details out of this episode.
Let's. All right, friends. Next episode. We're going to love the next episode, I promise. It is season 6, episode 12. You have to be joking. Autopsy of the Devil's Brain.
Wow. Don't remember this at all.
Oh, boy.
I guess we'll be refreshed.
Oh, Peyton fell down on the ground. So I'm sure we'll be in the hospital. Cool.
Oh, that's right. Do you know what's wrong with you?
Yeah.
Okay. Oh. I don't remember. Dun, dun,
dun. Oh, I think I do too. Dun, dun.
Tune in next week, ladies and gentlemen, to
see you next week
find
for
out all the drama.
All the drama. Jinx.
Hey, thanks for listening.
Don't forget to leave us a review. You can also follow us on Instagram at dramaqueensoth.
Or email us at dramaqueens@iheartradio.com.
See you next time.
We're all about that high school drama girl, all about them high school queens. We'll take you for a ride in our comic girl,
drama girl,
cheering for the right team.
Drama queens, drama queens,
smart girl, rough girl, fashion, but you're tough girl. You could sit with us, girl.
Drama queens, drama queens, drama queens, drama, drama queens, drama queens.
What if we told you that April showers bring more awesome savings on all-inclusive beach vacays? That sounds better, right? So Cheap Caribbean Vacations semi-annual sale is helping you rein in an extra $200 off your next booking of 4 nights or more. That means you can score site-wide deals on your favorite beaches like Cancun, Aruba, Jamaica, and more now through the end of April. Don't wait. The semi-annual savings only comes twice a year. So go to CheapCaribbean.com to do your deal and save $200 on your next vacay.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
Refinancing your car at Kemba Financial Credit Union can get you quick access to cash to help manage high-rate debts and expenses. Get up to $500 next day cash back, plus no payments for 90 days, and take cash equity out. Make your car work for you and drive away with extra cash. Apply at Kemba.org. Restrictions apply. Offer ends April 30th, 2024. Federally insured by NCUA.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.